Amen. What a wonderful hymn. If you have a Bible, I just want to read three verses from Isaiah chapter 55, and I want to share with you the most important thing in your life. And I really mean it. I want to share this evening what is the most important thing in your life, and that is hearing the voice of God. If you're not hearing the voice of God, you're in trouble at the very center of your Christian experience. God is speaking through the prophet and he says, "Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live." Amen. The most important thing in your life and mine is hearing the voice of God. You can tell a lot about the condition of your heart by how hard it beats when God speaks to you. You can tell a lot about the condition of your heart by how hard it beats when God speaks to you. In other words, the health of our soul, the health of our life, as this text clearly points out from Isaiah 55:2, depends on our ability to listen to God. And God wants us to fare lavishly. God wants us to fare abundantly. Jesus came that we might have life in all its fullness. And the only way to enjoy life in all its fullness is to be listening day by day to the voice of God. That is the secret of soul health and abundance. God wants our souls to be lavishly fed, and listening to his voice is the key to a satisfying life. The Word of God affirms that. The voice of God is the key to a satisfying life. If you truly are his voice will be your life. You will know the truth of Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why the temptation in the Garden of Eden to our first parents targeted the voice of God. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever thought that through? The first temptation to our first parents in the Garden of Eden targeted the voice of God. Satan knew exactly what he was doing and what he was after. When he said, "Did God really say?" The serpent mused. Now, if a slithering liar really wanted to profane the sacred image of God, that was his first logical step, to slander the voice of God, the voice that spoke the world into being, the voice that created all things that are created. In Satan's view, the voice that breathes life into human beings, that speaks forth life-giving truth, that leads into all blessing, that is the secret of abundance to human life, the health of the human soul, the hater of God and humanity knew exactly how to attack the source of the soul's richest fare. If God says the key to your soul's abundance is His voice, and the enemy chose as his first temptation to attack the voice of God, what does that tell you about your response to God's voice? It tells you that unless you are hearing the voice of God, unless you are listening to the Lord, unless you hearken and obey in good old-fashioned Old Testament language, you're in trouble. Isaiah prophesied words that express God's heart to us. Listen, listen. God is always pointing us in the right direction. God always has a word that is right for us. So the answer is spelled out pretty clearly in Scripture. God wants us to have the richest of fare. God wants our souls to fare well. God wants us to enjoy abundance and fullness of life. He is not a cosmic killjoy who wants to stamp out our pleasure. He wants us to delight in Him and in His work. He wants our souls to be fully satisfied, and His voice will always tell us how. The word of the Lord is the secret to abundant life. Now, there are those who contend that God no longer speaks to people beyond what He has already said in Scripture. There are those who do not believe that God speaks any longer in any other way, whether it's through a dream or a vision or a sign or circumstances or prophecy or a word of knowledge or an interpretation of a tongue. He has spoken in the Bible, and that's all. And then on the other extreme, there are some who act as if the word they receive from God through a vision or a prophecy or a revelation or an interpretation of a tongue or whatever actually overrides and supersedes anything that God has said in the Bible. And then sadly, there are those who use their alleged divine revelations to manipulate people. Sometimes to manipulate people to support their ministry or their church. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that? I have. People who will say, God has told me to tell you that He wants you to surrender all your jewelry. Or God has told me to tell you that He wants your farm. Or God has told me to tell you that you have to do such and such or go to such and such a place. Always be careful of such revelations. Now let's be quite clear. When God speaks today, He does not give any new revelation of Himself or His will that contradicts what He has already revealed in Scripture. Rather, God speaks to give application of His precepts, His principles, His promises, His word in Holy Scripture to the circumstances of our life. When God speaks to us today, He is not writing a new book of Scripture. Rather, He is applying to my life and yours what He has already said in His word. And your life can never be the same again if you listen to Him and obey Him. Does God speak today? Oh, yes, He does. It is the distinguishing feature of Christ's sheep, as we heard in the first reading this evening, that Jesus' sheep listen to His voice. Jesus' sheep recognize His voice. Jesus' sheep follow his voice. Jesus' sheep hear and obey his voice. It is the distinguishing feature of the sheep of Jesus' fold. If we're hearing God's voice and discovering his personal and unique will for our lives, then we can fare lavishly in our Christian experience. If we are not obeying the voice of God, we're in trouble at the heart of our Christian experience. Our God is not like the idols of the pagans, as the psalmist points out in Psalm 115 and the first few verses. Let me just find that for you in the Bible, in Psalm 115. The psalmist speaks of the idols of the heathen and says in Psalm 115 and verse 4, "But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak. Eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but they cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them." And so we rejoice tonight in the amazing grace of God, that he has not only redeemed us, but he has reconciled us to himself, and he has positioned us as Christ followers to hear his voice and to discern his will as he speaks to us. And we can say with Charles Wesley in his great hymn, "And Can It Be?" He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life that dead receive. The last book of the Bible is a massive plea to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Jesus spoke through his servant John to the church at Ephesus, and in a circular route right round to the church at Laodicea. And every single letter is an exhortation to hear the voice of God, to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying through the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, the worst kind of famine in all the world is a famine in hearing the voice of God. It is a terrible thing when the Word of God is rare, when people are not hearing his voice anymore. Many things in this world have changed by quantum leaps, but one thing remains the same. God continues to commune with his people. Let's take a look at the Old Testament record. And I've singled out 12 ways in which God spoke during the Old Testament period. Number one, he spoke then as he still speaks today through his created order. The heavens and the earth and all of the creation order and everything God has made testifies to the Creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, and their voice is not silent day and night. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. God spoke, as you know, in the Old Testament times through angels. In fact, again and again, God spoke through angels who were his messengers. He spoke, you remember, to Hagar about Ishmael, and spoke very personally, very compassionately, and very lovingly, and with great promise to Hagar about Ishmael. He spoke, of course, to Lot when the angel of the Lord spoke very personally and clearly to Lot to flee from Sodom. Genesis 16, 7 to 12 is the reference for Hagar, and Genesis 19, 1 and 5, verse 15, the reference for Lot. And then God spoke, of course, through prophets. I mean, 16 books in the Old Testament are named after them. And Amos 3:7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And they were able to say, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, thus says the Lord. Then God spoke again and again through dreams in the Old Testament period. He spoke to Joseph in a dream, you remember, Genesis 37:5-9. He spoke even to a heathen king, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, through a very vivid dream, Daniel 2:1. And you remember Daniel was given the ability by God to accurately interpret the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. God spoke through visions. You remember that the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, Genesis 15:1. Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah has a wonderful vision of the Lord, high and exalted, and the glory of God. And then God spoke through the casting of lots, almost like the throw of the dice. But it was one of the ways in which God made his mind and will known during the Old Testament time. We find that that was the method used to discern Achan, who had sinned against the Lord and caused the defeat of the Israelites against Ai. Joshua 7:14. Numbers 34:13. The distribution of the promised land. It was assigned by lot. And then there was the Urim and the Thummim in the breastplate of the high priest, Ezekiel 28:30, a special method God used to reveal his will to Israel through the high priest. Sometimes God spoke, number 8, through a gentle voice to the young Samuel. You remember he spoke like that, until Samuel was told by Eli the priest, who suddenly, after several times, realized what was going on here. So hard had Eli become that he wasn't really hearing the voice of God anymore, and God spoke to a child, Samuel. And then Eli said, "Say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." God spoke, you remember, to Elijah through that dramatic encounter in 1 Kings 19:11-13. And God did not speak so much through the wind and the earthquake and the fire, but God chose to speak through a gentle voice. But God did speak sometimes through the fire. He did that in Deuteronomy 4:24. Hebrews 12 speaks about our God as a consuming fire. The dedication of Solomon's temple, there was the revelation of God in the glory of fire. At Mount Carmel, the fire of God fell. God spoke to Moses out of a burning bush. Well, you're getting the idea, aren't you, that God is not limited to anybody or any way in the way in which he is able to speak. And then, 10th, God spoke through symbolic acts. And some of these symbolic acts are very hard for our sophisticated minds, so-called, to actually contend with. In Isaiah chapter 20, one of the shortest chapters in the Bible, just 6 verses, there the prophet is told to go naked and barefoot for 3 years. Because Israel was not relying upon God and wanting to rely on Egypt and on Cush. And God wanted to demonstrate how naked, how disastrous, how ridiculous that kind of reliance on the world and its powers would be. Hosea was told by God to marry a prostitute. And so the voice of God came in that symbolic act, because God wanted to declare to Israel that they had played the harlot in the relationship with him. And so through this symbolic act of the prophet marrying a prostitute and bringing forth children of adultery, God spoke very clearly to his wayward people, Israel. And then what about Ezekiel? God spoke to Ezekiel, and in this symbolic act, Ezekiel the prophet had to lie on his left side for 390 days, and then on his right side for 40 days. How would you fare if God spoke to you like that? Each day representing a year of Israel's sin against the Lord. And then God spoke face to face with Moses. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. How wonderful was that? That God spoke to his servant Moses face to face. And then the 12th thing that I've singled out here is God spoke often in unspecified ways. We simply read, the word of the Lord came to Hosea. The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah. How? We're not told. The how is not important. The who is important. And the fact that they knew it was God who was speaking. In the New Testament, God speaks in 10 ways that I'd like to highlight. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. Number one, God speaks to his people uniquely. He spoke uniquely to Saul of Tarsus. And as in the Old Testament, so often God's encounters are matched not only to the person's character, but also to their circumstances or to what God is wanting them to hear in that situation. We've enjoyed what are called choruses. I prefer to call them songs or spiritual songs. Because a chorus is really the segment that follows a verse. And so many of the things we call choruses today are actually either hymns or spiritual songs, but let me not go down a side road. But every hymn that we sing represents an encounter with God. We love the hymns that we sing. Why? Because they're inspired. Somebody was listening to God, whether it was Charles Wesley or Horatius Bonar, or whoever it was. The beautiful things about those hymns is that we recognize what God was saying, and we rejoice in those truths, and that we're able to sing them. God speaks so uniquely to his children. And then secondly, God speaks personally. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And that word is a word that denotes intimacy. Intimacy that involves understanding and knowledge, meaning, intelligence. My sheep know my voice. And I know them. And they listen to me. God speaks to us personally. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Praise the Lord. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And as we develop intimacy with God, we will recognize his voice more and more. And we will be able to discern voices that are not of God more and more. God speaks thirdly, progressively. The Bible itself is a progressive revelation. The story unfolds from Genesis to Revelation. And God also relates to us in a progressive way. God does not expect us as newborn babies in Christ to be able to chew and swallow meat, the meat of the Word. God lovingly feeds us with milk, and he coaches us and nurtures us so that we can advance to maturity in Jesus Christ. And as we grow, As we listen, as we obey, He reveals. As we listen and obey, He reveals. And so progressively, incrementally, God speaks and His people grow. God speaks progressively, so that step by step, day by day, precept upon precept, we can keep on growing in the grace and experiential knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not unjust or unfair or capricious or cruel. God doesn't ram down a newborn Christian's throat things that newborn Christian cannot comprehend or take in at that point. How good of God that He knows just where you are tonight, and He knows just what you need. He knows the word that you need, and He knows how to feed you so that your soul fares well. And then fourthly, God speaks consistently. God will never say anything that is not consistent with His nature, His character, His word. So He never speaks in an unholy manner. He never gives unethical instructions. God isn't the one who is telling you to cheat on your taxes. God isn't the one who is telling you to divorce your wife or your husband. God is not the one who is telling you to have premarital sex or extramarital sex. God is not the voice that is telling you that just little bits of pornography won't do you any harm. God speaks consistently with His character. And then fifthly, God speaks faithfully. Isaiah 14:24, as I have planned, so will it be. As I have purposed, so will it stand. Right from Genesis, when God says, it is so. He is faithful to fulfill everything He says. Not one promise made by God will remain unfulfilled. When God makes a vow or a covenant, He keeps it. As He says in the words of the Revelation, these are the words of the one who is holy, true, and faithful. God speaks faithfully. Amen. Sixthly, God speaks unmistakably. Usually our problem is not knowing what God is saying, it is doing what God says. For example, the Ten Commandments are abundantly clear. They are unmistakable. But of course, our sinful nature doesn't like them. And Satan doesn't like them. And so we have such deceptions today in so many philosophies, so many ideas and opinions, from secular humanism to all kinds of rubbish. The new commandment that God gives to His people is unmistakable. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. The summation of God's commandments are absolutely unmistakable. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God speaks unmistakably when He speaks on the big issues of life. And then, seventh, God speaks diagnostically. What I mean is God sees what is in our hearts, and He speaks in such a way that He brings us to a realization of our true condition. His word penetrates the deepest recesses of our heart and our mind. His word is like a sword. His word penetrates to the dividing asunder of, even the scripture says, the bones and the marrow. God speaks diagnostically. When he speaks to us through his word, he reveals the truth about our condition. He shows us exactly where we are. And then God speaks meaningfully. When God speaks, number one, he speaks to reveal his character. That's why the names of God in the Bible are always a revelation of some aspect of the character of God. Again and again and again, if you study the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will find that when God speaks, he is revealing his character. So when you read your Bible and meditate in the truths of Scripture, listen and look for a revelation of the character of God in what is being said or described or written. And then God speaks to reveal his purposes. And God speaks to reveal his ways so that we can walk in them. God speaks meaningfully. God speaks intelligently. God speaks purposefully. And then number 9, God speaks through his word. The Bible is God's word written. God is not limited to speaking in any way he chooses, but God has chosen to speak to us through his word. The Bible is God's word written. 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, correcting, reproving, training in righteousness, so that the Christ follower may have everything he or she needs to grow to maturity and be productive and effective in the Christian walk. God speaks through his word. He has spoken fully and finally through the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word, his beloved Son. And so Jesus is the embodiment of truth. He is able to say, I am the truth, as we heard again this morning. And then God speaks through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the author of God's word, is the interpreter of God's word. And so it is the Holy Spirit who is given to us in the words of Jesus, so that he can glorify Christ and the truth as it is in Jesus by taking what belongs to Christ and making it plain to us. Hearing the voice of God is anything more important than in all the world. Imagine if Abraham had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. Imagine if Moses had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. Imagine if Samuel had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. Imagine if Saul of Tarsus had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. Imagine if Peter and John had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. Imagine if William Carey had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. Imagine if Hudson Taylor had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. Imagine if Andrew Murray had not listened to the voice of God and obeyed. And imagine if you don't listen to the voice of God and obey. There is nothing more important in your life than to listen to the voice of God and obey. Everything is at stake here, at the point where we hear the voice of God. If we do not hear the voice of God, we cannot live in the will of God. Do you know how important it is to hear the voice of God? If you don't know when God is speaking to you, dear friend, you're in trouble at the very heart of your Christian life. If you do not listen to God and obey him, You will never experience God doing through you what only He can do. If you do not listen to God and obey Him, you will never experience God doing through your life what only He can do. God is speaking clearly to us. Every day, I want to hear God speak to me. The worst famine is not hearing the word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Every day, I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. Amen. Every day, God speaks to us by His Holy Spirit through His word, but He also speaks as we listen and watch and wait. Sometimes He gives us a word through others that we need to take heed of. Sometimes He speaks through our circumstances. Sometimes He speaks through a conviction that the Holy Spirit burns into our heart. May God help us every day to listen, so that your soul will be fed with the richest of fare. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight that you are the God who speaks. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you brought all of creation into being by your powerful word. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you that you have given to us not simply the general revelation of your being and your glory and your grace in all the created order that we revel in day by day. But thank you, Lord, for this special revelation, this unveiling of yourself that we have in Jesus Christ, your Son. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that has superintended the word of Christ in Holy Scripture, so that we may know you and grow into your likeness as we behold you in the word. We praise you that we are being changed from one degree of glory to another. So help us, we pray, day by day, to hearken and obey, to the glory of Christ our Redeemer. And all God's people said, Amen.